a little far away.
Okay, Lisa, I better take over because we're on the air. Thank you.
Oh, okay.
Thank you so much. This is Lynn Free. This is our Monday night conference call simulcast on the internet on VBS Radio and our conference line, and it just kind of developed this way over a period of time, and it's kind of a group interaction. Anyone? Every time you hear those dings, those are people checking in. Anyone like to say their name and their city?
Hi, this is Peoria, Arizona.
Phoenix.
Oh, look at that. We got all at once. I heard somebody from Phoenix. Who was from Phoenix?
Yeah, Nimaway from Phoenix, Lynn.
Wait a second. Somebody's eating their potato chips.
Oh, I got it. How do I mute Lynn?
Star 6.
Star 6, okay. I'm going to mute because I'm making an all noise.
Are you the guy eating potato chips? Okay, good.
My name is Nimaway. I've written you.
Nimaway. I think how could I forget a name like Nimaway? anyone else like to say their name in the city?
Hi, this is Jean from South Dakota.
Hi, Jean. And welcome. And who else would like to say their name in the city?
This is Mary Lou.
Hi, Mary Lou. And where are you from?
Maryville, Tennessee.
Is that a Tennessee accent you have?
I hope not. I'm originally from State New York.
You're from New York. I'm from Philadelphia.
Yeah. Okay.
Anyone else like to say their name in the city?
I'm from Bruce up in Saskatchewan in Canada.
Hello there. Is this your first time on the call?
No, I think I was on one a long time ago.
Well, welcome back. And, of course, I have this very controversial topic tonight. I hope I don't get myself in too much trouble. Do we have any fundamentalist Christians on the call right now? That's good. Okay. This is going to be liberal. Would you like to say your name and your city?
Oh, you must be talking to me, yes. Okay, Michael, San Diego.
Oh, hi, Michael. All right.
Greetings.
We record these calls. So is Terry on the line? Hello, Terry. Terry is my co-host, and she's actually in the same house as me in the other room.
Probably trying to get on.
All right. Somehow we'll get Terry here. All right, call in on the conference line. That's fine. Terry's going to call in on the conference line instead of BBS. And let me start the recording.
Please enter your PIN followed by pound.
Just a moment.
Please wait. This conference is being recorded.
This is Monday, December 5th, and my name is Lynn Free, and we are on our Monday night conference call, and I think I heard Terry. Did I hear you in there?
Yes. Maybe okay, I've called
you. You're a little low. Can you put the microphone closer to?
Okay. How about that? Is that better?
That's much better. Okay. And, you know, I announced a topic tonight. I'm going to do something a little different. You know, we do these calls every Monday, and those of you that are regulars know that we pick a topic and I have voices talking to me, and instead of being carried away by people in white coats, I ended up having a call every Monday. And if you've read my book, The Creator Gods of the Physical Universe, want to talk to you, you know, it's a fairly compelling story. And I always tell people, don't believe anything. Don't particularly just because it's channeled, just because they say they're creator gods. Don't believe that just because we state it. Say it. Believe it when you come to it yourself. In other words, if you listen to them, if it sounds like it makes sense, if you hear my story, everyone has to evaluate whether it's positive or negative. It certainly is real because there's too many phenomena attached to it. And it took me 3 years of having these conversations to come to the conclusion that they were who they said they were. And that to understand the value of putting this into the world. And I tell people, again I say this, the important thing is not to believe anything in your mind. Believing things in your mind is one of the ways that the world has gotten screwed up. Because you have to know something past the mind, and it's not even enough to believe it because it feels right or it feels good in your heart. That's a good start. It's a good start as a level of discernment. But there should be evidence. And this is what I've learned, at least in my personal case. There was so much evidence that it was real. And the purpose of this particular call tonight is not to present that evidence, but it's available in my book, in my two books. One of the most interesting, I'll say one piece of evidence, I'll call it evidence, and it's just things which seemed to prove the case. One of the things that was like a great exclamation point for me was, of course, I started writing the book, The Reincarnation of Edgar Cayce, and I learned that people tend to look like their past lives. Now, if you're on this call and you have no belief in past lives, just go along with me for a moment, because it takes a lot to come to a conscious understanding that maybe it works this way. And I can talk for hours, and sometime I will, and you're welcome to listen in. But in general, when you die, your DNA imprint is held in what I call the soul matrix. And when the soul comes into a new body, it programs the DNA of the past lifetime. So, according to theories of reincarnation, people tend to look like their past lifetimes. And you tend to meet the same people, but you always come into this life with a blank mind. You don't remember anything. So, hang on.
Entry and exit chimes are off.
Unless you happen to be famous, and unless there's other evidence connecting you to somebody, then this bit of information is not that important. Except for me, it was very important, because I was researching the case of David Wilcock and Edgar Cayce. And I had been very much influenced by Edgar Cayce, and if any of you are listening and have never heard of Edgar Cayce, he was a guy that died in 1945, and for 40 years of his life, he would go into a trance, and voices would come through him, and he was able to diagnose people's illnesses, he was able to recommend alternative cures, he was able to make future predictions, and he was able to tell people who they were in their past lifetimes. And he did 15,000 readings, and many people went to study his readings to prove that he was a fake, and they ended up writing books in support of his work because he wasn't a fake. The evidence was real, too much evidence, proving that he was doing that. But so what? What does that mean for us? Are we going to all read Edgar Cayce and then start another belief system and repeat? Edgar Cayce said this. Edgar Cayce said that. The Elohim said this. The Elohim said that. Those are all not really important. The only thing that's important is, can something help you make a better connection with something that's positive, that's out there, and how can it help you? How can you add it to your life without a belief system? On some level, you have to internalize it. Now, you know, if you were a Christian, somebody would say, well, just have faith. Having faith is okay. It's a good first step because it makes you start looking. And by looking, just the act of looking increases the chances that you'll find it. But if you just stop at faith, you just have a belief system. And a belief system is not good enough because how do you know your belief system is right? If you happen to be of a religious persuasion or have been of a religious persuasion, you'll note that most of the belief systems of most religions usually make their religion superior and others inferior. So you start feeling better than other people. And if you really go the route, you start saying, let's kill them. We're the only chosen people. So, and which belief system is right? Now, I'm obviously having conversations with what I believe to be positive sources in other realms. And their belief, they don't really put forth a belief system other than everything is part of one energy and we're all subdivisions of it. And they call it the law of one. And when you are able to access this energy, you will then have compassion. You can't help but have compassion because you start seeing everybody as part of yourself. And they even, it doesn't mean you have to be friends. When people are going through really negative things, you may not want to be friends with them, but you can have compassion. Let them go through it. And the people you're meant to connect with will flow towards you, and you'll make the connection. Well, this is all a preamble to the topic tonight, which is, what about the Book of Revelation? And the Book of Revelation is a book in the Bible of prophecy. And many traditional Christians believe that it is foretelling the future and that we're in the times right now described by the Book of Revelations. And because of the work I'm doing, I've had a lot of opportunity to try to figure out who Jesus actually was, who actually God is, and what can you trust and what can't you trust. Now, I'm not going to have time on this call to back up and give all the long explanations, the footnotes, where everything came from, but there'll be enough cross-references that if you want to write things down, you can do some of this on the web and do your own references. Let's see. I know we have new people on the line tonight, so I'm trying to give enough backup so that you have the context from which we're talking about. So all those people that have been coming into my calls every Monday, please bear with me because I know you know these things, and I want to make sure the new people on the line know them. Because what I've learned is that in most cases, the major religious events in history were caused because somebody was channeling. What is channeling? That's when a voice speaks through someone else from another dimension, from somewhere else. Well, either there's a voice speaking to them, or they're crazy. So if there's a voice speaking to you from somewhere else, then somehow or another, if you're listening to that voice, whether it's in your own head, or whether it's, in my case, through two women that were in my life, you have to figure out, can you trust that voice? Why should you trust the voice? Because it's speaking through somebody? If they say they're something, how do you know they are who they say they are? If your wife suddenly woke up and said, "Hi, this is God, and I have a message for you," how would you believe that was true? Well, somehow or another, they'd have to do certain things to convince you. Now, if they convinced you and they said, "We'd like you to share this with other people," you might do it. And then you get a bunch of believers, and you'd say, "Oh, I got a bunch of followers. Isn't that wonderful?" Well, the big problem with the idea of channeling is that I've convinced myself channeling is real. But how do you know the voice that's talking to you today is the same one that talked to you last week? They could say the same name. "Hi, this is our name." And now, you know, in the physical world, if somebody knocks on my door and says, "Hi, this is John," I know it's John. I know what he looks like. This is in case he's not cloned, because now people say people are getting cloned and you never know who's a clone. But assuming he's not a clone, then you recognize John. But when you have a voice speaking to you through someone, how do you know they are who they say they are? And how do you know it doesn't change from one week to the other? One of the things that was coming through David Wilcock, the reincarnation of Edgar Cayce, the guy that was the spitting image of Edgar Cayce, now that was something that couldn't be faked. If you've ever not seen the picture, you should look it up on the internet. David Wilcock, Edgar Cayce. Too close. And his voice was describing who they were. Now, as I first read their communications, my first feeling was, these guys are wise. And they seem to be very caring. They're wise and they're caring. Now, those things you don't have to validate. If somebody tells you something that's wise, you can apply it to your life and something shifts in your life, you can say, it doesn't matter where that came from. I don't care who's speaking through that guy. There's a lot of wisdom there. If you hear them talk and you feel a tingling sensation in your heart, like your heart's opening up, you don't have to wonder who they are. You can say, I feel this feeling in my heart. You can feel that. So if they're talking about prophecies, if they're talking about future events, if they're telling you to do things, if they're telling you you're better than someone else, then that's hard to validate. Well, when you get the idea that a voice that's coming through someone may not be the same voice from one week to the next, and that a negative force a trickster, can take over the line and suddenly say they're the same name.
If they're telling you to do things...
Uh-oh. Now somebody had their internet listening. So, you see, you can never give up your power to an external force. You can only co-create. You can always discern. And one of the things is, if somebody is bringing forth a source, you have to look at how sharp they are. Because if they're not sharp, they won't have discernment. And they could switch from one source to another and never know the difference and think they're doing God's work. That's how tricky it is, because the other realms are filled with what we would call negative sources, sources that want to tap into the energy fields of the planet, of you, of I. And it's very tricky. It's very tricky. And if I didn't go through all the experiences I've gone through for the past 8 years, I think I would be fooled. So, a good portion of the Bible... Oh, I wanted to say one thing, you know, how they were knocking me over the head. And this is only one of many things that convinced me. We're getting some background sound here. I'm going to do another mute on everybody.
All callers are muted and they can unmute themselves.
So, as I said about David Wilcock, I had learned that people tend to look like their past lifetimes. And David was the spitting image of Edgar Casey. Now, when I say that, you shouldn't believe me. This is stuff you have to research. Could one be right? Well, I convinced myself that I was right, and I can't explain all the things I did in this call, but I did convince myself. And then, 2 years into writing my book, I had a woman in my life suddenly start telling me, those guys want to talk to you. And I have this voice that's predicting newspaper headlines, that's creating a medical miracle with my sister saving her life. And I'm asking all the questions about the Wilcock book to this voice, and they're giving me the same answers. And all of that time that that was happening, especially in the first 6 months, I was asking myself, do I have a trickster entity here, or is this real? They didn't ask me to do anything. They didn't ask me to go out in the world and tell everybody. But they said they were the Elohim. And I looked up the word Elohim, and it said a group, didn't say this, said the creator gods of the physical universe. And I had a chance to ask them in a very normal human way. They didn't ask me to genuflect or worship them. In fact, I asked them, do you guys really like to be worshipped? And they said, no. They said, we're available to be your energy friends. We exist, we're in another dimension, we're real, and we can beam into your dimension, but we don't violate people's free will, so they have to ask for us. Well, everything was making sense, but I didn't believe it. I mean, it was very hard for me to believe that I have a woman in my life that's tapping me on the shoulder, saying, those guys want to talk to you. And I'm talking to this group soul that says they created the physical universe, and they were the first breakaway from what they call the one infinite creator. And that they didn't want to be God. They weren't God, except because we could connect to them energetically, they could cause transformations in the physical realm that couldn't happen without that energy connection. And so the woman left me, and my old friend came over to comfort me a few weeks later, waking me up in the middle of the night, and they started coming through her. She's on the line. And we may have them say hello to you through her later in this call. So When this is like being in a science fiction movie. I have this something in another dimension tracking me through two women, and it took me about another 6 months to a year, 6 months anyway, to say, well, you know what? I think it's the same source coming through Terry as was coming through Daphne. I think it's the same source. And I asked them, was Terry ever anybody famous in a past lifetime? I didn't expect them to answer, but they did. And those of you that are on this line know that Terry's very shy. She's been very great in coming forward, but you can tell in her voice that she's shy and wouldn't normally be a public person. Now, I'm different. I used to be a singer-songwriter, so it's easy for me, easier to be a public person. Well, I asked them, is Terry ever anybody famous? And they said, look up St. Catherine of Siena. And I looked up St. Catherine of Siena, who I never heard of. I assume she was Catholic or connected to Catholicism. And I find this story of a woman, a young woman who's, I think, 14 years old in Siena, Italy, in 1300 A.D. And she would go to the local church and they would write down everything she said because they thought God was speaking to them through her. And St. Catherine's dialogues with God are an official part of Catholic history and recognized by the Vatican. And I'm not saying that's good because I don't believe the Vatican is positive, but they're recognized by the Vatican. And they're still on Amazon, St. Catherine's Dialogues with God. Well, the incredible thing was, Terry was the spitting image of St. Catherine. So look at the chances of that, that I asked this disembodied voice, was Terry ever anybody famous? She's channeling a voice that say whether it was Elohim, which was the name for God in the Old Testament, and they say, look up St. Catherine. And there's this story of this woman who was going into a church who was channeling God, because they didn't use the word channeling, but nonetheless, it was channeling. And they believed it, and they wrote down everything she said. And Terry was the spitting image of the person. I do have that on a web page, stcatherine.messageaday.net. I think it's... If any of you want to see that page and can't find it, just email me, or I'll email again and put that up. Email me, and I'll make sure you get it. So that was a pretty striking blow, confirmation that maybe what I was doing was real. Maybe they were who they said they were. And in the reincarnation of Edgar Cayce, the voice that was speaking through David Wilcock also said it was a group soul, and it was made up of graduates of this realm, souls that had embodiments in the physical, and the Buddhist thing is getting off the wheel of reincarnation. Don't believe any of that, but that's just the way the religion says it. And this voice speaking through David Wilcock said that both David and Edgar Cayce both had connected with negative sources. And I believe they used the word trickster entities. And they said that they wanted to correct a prophecy of Edgar Cayce's. If you're familiar with Edgar Cayce, you'll know that he had a prophecy, sometimes called the devastation prophecy, where he said, Europe was going to disappear in the blink of an eye. New York was going down. Tokyo was going down. Japan was going down. And it was going to create worldwide havoc. And what they said through David Wilcock, that prophecy was not them. And that they don't do doom and gloom prophecies, and that that was a trickster entity. And so when I went back to the Edgar Cayce files and studied that reading, sure enough, that reading had a name on it, which is Hallelujah, I believe it said. I don't want to say his name because I don't want to invoke him, but forget, that's it. If I said it wrong, it's okay. But there were other readings where he came through where he said, I am in the heavens. I am like Christ in the heavens. Or I am in the heavens like Jesus was on earth. So he's really exalting himself. He's saying, hey, I'm big stuff. Give up your power. And yet he made this devastation prophecy. Years ago, probably 30 years ago, when I read Edgar Cayce, I remember that prophecy. And as I read a lot of his stuff, there was another place in the Edgar Cayce readings where, in a channeling, it was said, these changes will happen gradually. And I remember noting, why are these things different? In one case, it says everything's going to come down like a brick-mortar house. That's not the right word, a house of cards, whatever. Everything's going to come down in one devastating blow, and the world is going to fall apart, and everything's going to sink into the ocean. And somewhere else it said, these changes will come about gradually. Well, they said to Wilcock that was them, and the other one was the trickster entity. Well, if you see what I'm leading to the question, any time there is information that comes in from other realms, it has to be suspect. You can't assume that it's the same source. And unless there's the same resonance, you can start to lean in that direction, that it might be the same source. But when it suddenly takes a 90-degree turn and is talking quite differently than the original source, you really have to put it to test to see if it's the same source. Now, I remember reading the New Testament years ago, and there were little things that Jesus said that I knew were true because I could validate them in my own life. Like, when two or more are gathered, I am also present. Now, if you've come onto these calls often, you will know there are many times that people come together on these calls and there's an energy that comes into the call. And many people feel it. And I would say that's a demonstration of when two or more are gathered. Now, when it says I, does that mean Jesus is present? Well, the cosmic Jesus is present. The energy from the center of the universe, the Father energy is present. There's an energy present that comes in when people gather for a very high purpose and are reverent. And another one, judge not, lest ye shall be judged. That makes it sound like there is some big meanie up there that's watching you. That says, if you make it a judgment, it's going to come down, point your finger at you, and say, no, 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 no. That's not the way it works. The reason you're judged is because everything is one energy. Do you remember I said that early? And the highest truth of the universe is the law of one, which means another statement of Jesus, as you do it to another, you do it to yourself, or treat others the way you want to be treated. I think that's Jesus. In any case, if you judge somebody, you're judging yourself. It's not up to you and me to make somebody wrong. You may not want to know them. You may want to put them in jail. But it's between them and their own creating energy, their own creative force, to deal with them, not you and I. Nor can we deal with them. I mean, if you judge somebody, what are you going to do by judging them? You want to go out and hurt them, kill them? Think that's going to make it better? And one of the interesting channelings we had, they said, you can't, because it'll just come back. The energy is still in the universe. So the best thing is turn the other cheek and go on with your positive work and let those things that might be negative, and I think you could call something negative, and it doesn't mean you're judging it, it means you're observing it, go their own way. Turn the other cheek. Now, it's my contention that our sources are very much connected with the positive sources that worked with Jesus. And they've said many things, not just to me directly, but through Carla Ruckert, through David Wilcock, that all correspond about how they operate, how they function. And their MO is to send loving energy to us from their realm. And if you've never felt that, I would say it's possible. And many people that have come into my conference calls have felt that energy, have felt the sense of lovingness, have opened their hearts. And of course, not only can you feel the energy, but they talk to us. And it's pretty wild. You feel this energy coming into your body. You feel it tingling everywhere. And suddenly Terry is talking. And it's the same consciousness. The energy is that voice. And you make that connection and you put things together. But they're not God in the way religion makes God out to be. They are group consciousness in other dimensions that exists eternally, and we're part of that consciousness, and we separated ourselves by being in a physical body. So they have said that they don't do gloom and doom prophecies. They don't create fear. They said if something creates fear, it's not them. If something particularly is intended to create fear, it's not them. So what does that tell us about God? Well, once you take into the idea that God has been talking to us through channeling, and that how do you tell who is and who isn't? Because a voice comes through somebody and says, this is God. How do you know it's the God? Who is it? How does it work? And it's my take throughout history and throughout the Bible that it's varied. At times, it has been these really high sources that are very loving. That if you go into the Old Testament, there's that psalm that says, to every thing there is a season, a time to do, da-da-da-da, beautifully lyrical, very uplifting. It was a song about that. Do everything, turn, turn, turn. Well, that feels like my sources. And then when you come to the God that says we're killing the firstborn, this is a God of wrath, we're going to get over you, that is not those sources. That's another source. That's another source that's wanting to create fear and wanting to control you by fear. And if you really go deeply into this, you will see that throughout history, there's an agenda. Now, if we go to Carla Ruckert. Now, Carla Ruckert has been one of my sources of study that has put pieces of the puzzle together for me. And she channeled a voice
that said it was Ra, the Ra group, and my indication showed that both Edgar Cayce and David Wilcock channeled the Ra group, and that the Ra group has been doing interventions, and it's one of the principal sources that has been responsible for the creation of religions and spiritual movements from the positive side. And they have talked to people throughout history. And oftentimes when they did that, in their track, negative sources would come in and steal the line and start talking from somebody and say that they were the same intelligence that was positive. So therefore, you get a beautiful energy that can bring the words through for that psalm to everything. There is a season. And down the road, the same energy is saying, kill the firstborn. And down the road, it's coming through Jesus, and it's saying beautiful things. And down the road, you have the book of Revelation. And the book of Revelation has every earmark of being from a negative trickster source. And if you're a Bible person and you believe every word in the Bible, you might study the Bible really carefully, and you'll find that it's put together by many, many people. It's gone through different editing sessions, including the Council of Nicaea, 300 years after Jesus, which some people would say initially Rome was not into Jesus, but when they saw he was getting so popular, they decided to get on the bandwagon, and so they totally edited it so it could be used as a tool to control people instead of enlighten them. And if you look up, which I researched a little bit, the Book of Revelations. Now, let's see if I can find these things I marked off quickly. If any man shall take away from the words of the book of this prophecy, God shall take away his part out of the book of life and out of the holy city and from the things which are written in the book. The book is filled with prophecies of things to come, of destructions, of plagues, of antichrists, of many, many, many things that are scary. And if you read it and you think these are those times, the only thing, logical response, is fear. And if Jesus said these things and you could really peg them on him, then you'd say, this must be real. Now, I had all these little sections of the book of Revelations where it just shows what a fearful tract this is. Now, that doesn't mean that there might be some place in here where it's real, because with channeling, you can go back and forth. It's like the voice, the source of the voice can change. But in general, I have not seen too much positive here. And I will kill her children with death, and all the churches shall know that I am he which searcheth the reins and hearts. And I will give unto every one of you according to your works. But I'll give you an example of, in the Old Testament, what has to be a negative source saying it's God. And if you've read the Old Testament, you might be familiar with this tract. And if you haven't, It has to do with this woman, Jezebel, who was worshiping, she was the wife of the king, and worshiping the god Baal, B-A-A-L, and trying to convert the Hebrews to worship Baal, because the Hebrews were worshiping Yahweh. And there was a prophet at the time, Elijah. And Elijah was trying to protect the Hebrews from being taken over by the influence of Baal. And Jezebel and Elijah were kind of enemies, although they never met each other. He took it as his personal mission to make sure the Hebrews stayed true to the real God, Yahweh. And so they had a showdown. The Baal king sent all his best priests who were representing Baal to meet with the best priests who were representing Yahweh, and they met. And I think the way it went was there was this something that they were supposed to set on fire. And whoever had the real God would set this piece of wood, I can't remember what it was, some object on fire. It would catch fire. And so the Baal guys were not being successful. They were doing their incantations. And then Elijah stepped to the plate and called on his God, and lightning came down, and the fire started. At which point, all the Baal prophets were fairly intimidated and in awe. And what did Elijah do? God told him to kill all the Baal prophets. So according to the Old Testament, he slaughtered 400 of the, not the prophets, their priests. And then what happened was he became a wanted man because Jezebel said she was going to kill him. And he disappeared. He went on the road, ran. He was scared. Of course, he would say, if he was really who he said he was, why would he worry? Well, Yahweh is not one of our sources, okay? In fact, we've asked questions about that, and they say Yahweh was a bit of a renegade and was turned negative. And he was the God of the Old Testament. He was the voice that would come through and be the God of fear, of wrath, of subjugation, of follow me, give up your power. And so what do we have here? We have two negative forces, each vying for control, and the one that won was not necessarily God. It was this high negative force. And when I look to say, who wrote the book of Revelations? And, you know, I'm doing this call tonight. I don't usually do calls like this. This is a very unusual call. It's a little bit scholarly. I'm trying to make points. But we're in a changing time right now. And it's my take that those negative forces are trying to make the book of Revelations come true. And the more fear they can create, the more chance they have, because it was all a plot to create this period of time. They can create over long periods of time. And when I looked about the book of Revelations, and I found out that it was a guy that had a vision, who wrote the book. And he had this vision. There was some controversy of who he was. Some say he was John Elder. It didn't come directly from Jesus talking to his disciples and then writing it down. It was a guy that had a vision, and then he sent his vision to seven different churches, and it got included in the Bible. And in his vision, he said it was Jesus talking to him. And as we're seeing now, there is no way that he could know if it was Jesus or a negative source. You know, if it wasn't for the Internet, if it wasn't for my ability to cross-reference huge amounts of things, I would be stymied to figure all this out. I don't know if I could. How could you decide what's negative and what's positive? How could, you know, I wouldn't even, I mean, if somebody told me Terry was the reincarnation of St. Catherine, I could have never looked to find her picture and to see if they look similar. Now, maybe I could have gone to a library. I could have spent a week thumbing through all these different books, and maybe I would have found that picture, and maybe I wouldn't have. But the Internet has made it possible to do so much research so fast, and it makes it possible for you to check me out, because things I say, many of them can be validated. You know, I quoted Carla Rucker, llresearch.org, llresearch.org, and she has a huge website. She posts a lot of her channelings, and again, with channeled material, it's not to believe it. It has to work for you. It has to bring you wisdom. It has to give you something that you can add to your life other than believing in something, because that is a waste of time. And so the book of Revelations came from somebody who channeled something that said it was Jesus. And my contention is that it wasn't. It was a negative source. And today, look at all the people that are running around talking about that. Now, some of you have heard of the word Illuminati. Some of you have heard the word negative elite. Well, these are very important things to be aware of, not to focus on, but to be aware. Because what we find is, if we are to believe Carla Ruckert's raw material, and I highly recommend everyone read that. It's very complicated, not easy to understand, but after you hear this stuff, it might resonate. If you look at the raw material says that there is a group in another dimension that is bent on planetary conquest. They call themselves the Orions. I do believe it's connected to what David Icke calls the reptilians. I'm not sure, but I'm pretty sure. And the Orions are very technologically advanced, and they're very high in the chakra system, except for their heart chakra. They have a lot of psychic occult powers, and they can project thoughts into people, and that the principal way of taking over a planetary population, conquering a planet, is not going in with weapons or guns and doing it that way, because they're smart enough to understand karma, I'm sure. And doing it that way is a way that they might get karma. But they project thoughts into the elite and start talking to them and make them think they are God and take control of the leadership. And those groups that we call the Illuminati, which are the most powerful people on our planet financially, almost every president has been in that. They have secret meetings. There's all kinds of stuff on the internet. And if you want to know about it, just look up that word and keep reading through. But remember, don't get afraid. If the power we're working with here is higher than that power. But most people don't tap into that. So they pick up, if we imagine, now I'm not sure this is true, I'm just hypothesizing, that this group sets up long-term plans because they're in another dimension, so time works differently for them. They can set up long-term plans. So they can set up talking to someone. What Carla Ruckert said is when they're channeling to a negatively disposed person in this realm, and you could call that service to self, when they're doing that, they will just say, we can give you power, we can do all this stuff for you, and it becomes the essence of devil worship. And when they're channeling to a positive person, a service to others, they trick them, and that they make them feel important in terms of delivering messages of doom and gloom. And so, therefore, the Book of Revelation totally fits the profile of an Orion transmission of doom and gloom to create fear, and that those sources today, who we would call the Illuminati or the negative elite, in their own quarters, they're worshiping the negative. Now, that might be Lucifer, but who is Lucifer? Who did Jesus mean by the devil? I believe that this is the source. And, of course, I don't know if he understood that in his time, but even if he did, he can never say it. No one would understand it. We got a bunch of guys in spaceships that can channel through people, and they're going to mimic the positive. Now, so it was easy to just say the devil and make people be very careful. People will come on my name, but they won't be me. He gave all these kinds of stipulations, warnings, ways to check it out. And yet, millions and millions of people are believing in that book right now and thinking this is the way it has to be. If you listen to our sources, if you come into our channelings, they say that any prophecy, there's no prophecy that's locked in stone. Things can look a certain way at a given time, and based on our consciousness, we have the ability, with them, together, to cause things to shift. And if enough things shift, the entire planet will shift into a loving space. And we do conference calls 3 times a week, particularly our Sunday call, which is totally focused on shifting things, on changing things. And why do things shift? Is it because those guys like us and they change things? No. They're us. We're them. They can help. We help each other. It's all one energy. When you become that one energy, it becomes very powerful. Each of us by ourselves has a little bit of energy. But when we combine and create a group energy, then that huge energy is a miracle-making machine. And their criteria is honoring free will and for the highest good of all concerned. And if I talk about all these, what sounds like bad guys here on the planet, And again, we're not supposed to judge them. If you judge them, you're polarizing with them. You have to notice they're there and find an area where you can create positively. Because if you polarize against them, you lose your connection to the higher forces. You now become embattled in a war in this realm. And they have the power, so you'll probably lose, as we have in most cases. When we come together as a group and a team and create a group consciousness, and we add to our group consciousnesses these millions and billions of high, positively disposed souls, you know, one of the readings, and again, I quote a reading, it doesn't mean it's true, but in one of the readings they said, there's 10 times more of the positive in other realms than there is of the negative. And essentially, there's a huge edge that this planet has if it connects to the positive and invokes all that energy for transformation. 10 times more energy than the negative. But the positive honors free will. The negative doesn't. It does everything it can to trick you, enslave you, lie to you, get you so that you give it its energy and create fear so you give it its energy. It's one of the reasons it's been so hard to transform planet Earth, because the negative has so much influence in the way that it controls things down here. I hope that those of you that are listening will really take the time to investigate more of my work. If you want to come into my conference calls, I have a schedule posted, conference.messageaday.net. And on these calls, there's huge amounts of great information. There's live conversations with the guys I'm talking about, which I believe are very positive, uplifting, helpful, and informative. And conference.messageaday.net. And our most important call is Sunday morning. And Sunday morning, we have the same format every week, but there is this incredible energy on the line, an incredible loving energy, which people can feel. And it comes in through your body in a way that if you've never felt it, it's hard to explain. And when you feel it, you know that it occurred. It's like you come onto the call, and many people have sent me emails. Not only have they had miracles, their depressions lift, they start feeling more centered, they don't feel alone, they feel connected, they feel sometimes people have miracles, sometimes they have healings, and this is not a religion. This is nothing to worship. This is something to kick the tires and kick the tires and kick the tires. And either I'm one hell of a loony guy or I've got it right. And you have to figure it out by applying yourself. The fact that you're listening right now means you have the chance to apply yourself. This is a fairly rare and unusual thing we're doing. And it's not like other things, although people tend to put things like other things to make them familiar. This is not familiar. And there's so many people that have emailed me telling me that they've experienced these transformations on the line. Oftentimes, I don't even know them. We don't charge for these calls. We don't charge not because I don't need money, because I do, but because it's my conviction that why would you pay for something that you don't even know what it is? You haven't experienced it. People give us donations, and anyone that wants to support our work, wants us to reach more people, go to donations.messageaday.net, donations.messageaday.net, or donationbox.net, and it helps us because this is the only way it's going to get out to people.
because we're not charging. And why don't I charge? Because I don't want to be controlled by money. And I don't want to turn this into a business to get more people to come to a call. You know, occasionally I give a workshop. Occasionally I do something. And some of you have noticed, I say, suggest a donation of $3, $5, but put in your own amount. You know what? It creates a relationship of gratitude between us. It creates a relationship where I appreciate you and you appreciate me. It doesn't put me above you. You are creating me by your donations. If nobody donated, I figure no one cares. Why bother doing this? But I do know people care, and I do know we are making a difference for a small group of people. Sometimes people think we're reaching lots and lots of people. I would say we're reaching hundreds of people, a few hundred. And yet it could reach thousands, and it could reach millions, and that if it did, this planet would shift. And if it does reach those many people, it's going to happen because of course, I am always making efforts to reach more people. Some of you are here because I ran an advertisement. Some of you are here because I gave a book away for free. Some of you saw an advertisement on Google, and I pay for those things. And you've gotten years of support, and very rarely do I absolutely say, here's something for sale. Now that I said that, I'll say, here's something for sale. You know, I do have a workshop that elaborates on some of the things I've been talking about. It's a four-hour workshop. It was one of the most amazing workshops I ever did. And I remember when I did it, I was scared when I did it. I was a little scared tonight about doing this talk because I don't really like to go against people's sacred cows. Of course, the Bible is a sacred cow. But there's so much chance for so many people to be in fear, and it's artificially created. And I wanted to put something on record. And if this makes sense to you, then do feel free. You know, we'll have an audio and a transcript of it sometime this week. Share it with other people, because you're not going to get somebody that's a fundamentalist, everything in the Bible is accurate just per se. They're not going to change their minds, unlikely. But there's so many people that are wondering, that are in between. You know, there's so many people that conventional religion is not working for, and people are not believing in it, and it sounds like fairy tales. If it does work for you, if it brings you closer to the higher forces, if it brings you joy, if you can feel the energies of higher realms, then it's working and you don't need this. But if it's making you feel superior, if it's making you look down on other people, if you're not finding the kingdom of heaven, of God, with inside of you, and you're looking at some of the guys that have been accused of sex crimes that are ministers, and you may be caught in the control mechanism of religion, because in many religions, at the core of it, there is a control mechanism. There are people channeling the negative. You know, I speak about this very confidently, and I'll share with you one of the things in the course of the history of these calls that happened where I had a direct experience of that. And this was a few years ago. We were doing calls, and unbeknownst to me, one of the people coming into the calls said they were channeling the Elohim, and they started talking to her after she came in on these calls, and that she was supposed to prove herself to me. And the way they asked her to prove herself was to invite the people that were coming into the calls to her own private call.
and where they were going to talk to her, and that it would be very important after a period of time that they would all know she was channeling the Elohim and that I could trust it. Well, this went on for 2 months, and I never heard about it until finally somebody mentioned it to me. And now, I didn't immediately draw conclusions or condemn the woman or know anything. But at that time, I did do a private channeling with both Daphne and Terry separately. And I asked them, could you tell me about this situation? And the answer was, they said, it's not us. It's a negative force trying to steal your line, and you need to do damage control. Both of them said the same thing. And I did. And I corrected it. And I said, geez, this must be what I'm reading about. Another time I had met, and I'm not going to say the religion, I'm not going to give the details, but I had met the wife of the former wife of a leader of a major religion. And she divorced her husband. And the reason she divorced her husband was because she was a channel. And she decided that what she was doing was negative. She didn't want to do it anymore. She told me every person who was at the head of this religion had a wife who was channeling what she considered to be the negative. And now you can see how tricky this is, the negative, which I'm going to assume it's these space guys that are trying to take over our planet, are effective in screwing up an entire religion, okay? And if you ever read David Icke, and I'm not saying I believe everything David Icke says, but he has book after book about how he calls them the reptilians have been in control of our planet. And he says the Freemasons, you know, when you were in school, remember how the kings and queens who ruled by divine right, that's it, okay? That's the negative. Let me see if I just pick. They have rituals. There's so much stuff on the internet, and I don't often tell people, go look at this, go look at that, because it can be scary to realize how much of the influence of that there is. What I do tell people to do is come into our Sunday conference calls, because each of us who learns how to pick up the frequencies of these higher realms is making a huge shift in this realm. And it's hard to believe how important that is. Hard to believe it. Hard for me to believe it. It's just taken me watching it over years now to get the feeling for it. And I say, I think this is real. And you have to check it out for yourself. Again, I'll give you the website for the call, conference.messageaday.net, conference.messageaday.net. And this call you're on right now, we do it every Monday. If you've got the schedule, if I send it to you, and I'm saying this because we had new people who had downloaded the Creator God book, and they're on this call tonight, and for the first time. That's why I did so much background information. And this is really important to understand. Let me see here. I don't see a good place from David. I'm looking David Icke's book, The Biggest Secret, the book that will change the world. David Icke's most powerful and explosive book to date includes the astonishing background, the murder of Diana, Princess Wales. See, what happens is, if you guys notice, people who are artists who get very influential and who can't be controlled get knocked off. Every one or most of those guys understand. They may not understand it in all the ways I've explained it tonight, but they understand the negative because the system is controlled by the negative. The movies are controlled by the negative. The media is controlled by the negative. And if you get too famous, you become a threat. You're gone. And look at John Lennon, Jimi Hendrix, Princess Diana, John Kennedy. You know, John Kennedy was not playing by the rules. And there's a number of ways where he was not doing that. And most definitely, was there no accident in the way that he got knocked off. So, Terry, are you on the line? I don't hear you. Did you come in as a moderator?
Yes, I am.
Now I hear you. Okay. So I've gone time tonight. What's that, Terry?
I'm on BBS.
Oh, you're on BBS now? Okay. Now,
yeah.
I know you've been holding the energy, and I told Terry that I wasn't going to have her channel. And we really don't need to do a channeling tonight. This is pretty complete in of itself. But unless they're sitting there and they want to make any comments, I'm not going to ask them to validate and confirm anything I've said because I don't want them to go on record doing that. I'll take the hit on the controversy here. But if they want to make any comments, I can leave the space for that about anything.
Maybe tonight. To be late.
Not tonight?
Yeah.
Okay, so we're not going to do a challenge tonight. Usually every Monday we do, and we ask questions. And if you're intrigued with the work we're doing, you don't have to believe anything. Just show up. Try showing up for a few weeks to our calls. Conference.messageaday.net has got the schedule. Show up for a few weeks. And most people that do that become less afraid. They become more relaxed. And many of them start having little synchronicities and miracles. And, you know, I think one of the things that everyone can get out of these calls is the real way, what I believe to be the way the universe works, where you really don't die. Your body dies, your energy continues. And the one thing is you do not want to die being totally scared shitless, because then your energy continues in a worse place. So if you're scared of dying and you know you don't die, that's a really big step. And coming into these calls regularly, I think, is pretty convincing after a while. And I think he's right. When you start to feel your energy, you start to feel not just like your body, you start to feel the energy of your soul, and you will have a better future lifetimes when you have that experience. And you see, I can say that. And then I'm not going to say, we're doing this workshop, and it's $100, and have better future lifetimes. But I will tell you, I mentioned that workshop, the Egyptian Connection, where I spent 4 hours going into great detail about the origins of Jesus and the Old Testament in Egypt, where that came from, the parts that I played, the part that David Wilcock played, and if you want to download it, it's 4 hours. The web price is $19. Egypt.messageaday.net. Egypt.messageaday.net. And anyone who can't afford it, email me, tell me how much you can afford. If you want it for nothing, tell me. But realize we are trying to support ourselves through this work. You know, we actually pay for this call on BBS. We pay every week, a certain amount of money, because BBS is a business and they have to stay in business. So if you appreciate the work we're doing, make a donation, buy the workshop, and if you can't afford it, don't feel bad asking about it for nothing, because it's more important that you read it. And I'm not sitting here saying you don't deserve it. I've spent
many years of my life not knowing where money was coming from. So I have a lot of compassion for that situation. But if you can't afford it, get it. And if you want to make a donation, donations.messageaday.net or donationbox.net. And I thank everybody who's been volunteering to keep all this going. And I thank all of you for supporting the energy that come in every week. And special, special greetings to... I get speechless. Those people who are here for the first time tonight who responded to my invitation. And thanks to Lisa for greeting everybody tonight. And thanks to many, many people. And, you know, we have lots of, if anyone wants to go look up some of our old shows, you can go to thespiritchannel.net. And it's not very well presented, but we have audios, we have transcripts of our all our conference calls. And if you get through the bad presentation, there's a huge amount of great, great stuff there to check this out. Please kick my tires. Check it out. And if it doesn't resonate, fine. But most people that take the time to check it out, it does resonate. And, you know, there's no chicanery, no exaggeration. It's just we do this live. We talk to these guys live right here on the calls. And there's no way I could fake that. And there's information and things that happen on these calls that couldn't possibly happen by normal human ways of reality. So on that note, I am going to say goodbye to everybody. Mute everybody.
All callers are muted. All callers are unmuted.
We are now unmuted, and I hear you, and we'll see you, on some of you, on Wednesday when we do our question and answer call. And have a great rest of the week.
Hey, so what is the sticky rack?
It's non-sticky and white light.
On me.
It's the same like
this. One box.
Thank you, everybody.
Good night.
To stop conference recording, press 1. Your conference recording has stopped.